look real good, and she has three young children. One of these kids goes to school with Noah. So remember Heather Hastings and her family in your prayers. And also remember Irma Stowers. She has pneumonia. And so there's never a good time to have pneumonia. I had it earlier this year. It's not fun, but especially this time of year. So remember Irma in your prayers. And also Matt Richards wants to thank everybody for the support, for the cards and the gifts for the hospitals. They got to go last night and deliver those, and I guess that went very well. So he wants to thank everybody for helping out with that. Well, are you ready for Christmas? Who in here is ready for Christmas? Not as many hands as I thought I might see, but you have a few hours left, right? I mean, this is only Christmas Eve, so you have a few hours left before the big day arrives. Since Thanksgiving, we've been talking about certain characteristics that we see at Christmas time or during the holiday season. We talked about generosity. This is a time of the year when people are more generous than maybe the rest of the year. Brian talked a few weeks ago about love. Love is certainly a characteristic, a trait that's present during the holiday season. Last week we discussed rest. God wants us as his people to rest in him. Will you get any rest this holiday season? Have you gotten any rest this holiday season? And this morning, we're talking about celebration. Specifically, celebrating Jesus. Do we celebrate during the holidays? We do, don't we? We celebrate all kinds of stuff. We celebrate our family. We celebrate good food, right? Looking forward to that. We celebrate making good memories with each other. But this time of the year, and all the time of the year, we have the privilege as believers to celebrate Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You know, children are funny with the things they come up with sometimes. There's a story of three little boys who were in a Christmas play. And their job was to present the gifts that the wise men presented to Jesus. So the first little boy steps forward on stage and he holds out his present and he says, gold. The second little boy steps forward and holds out his present and he says, myrrh. The third little boy steps forward, holds out his present, he says, Frank sent this. Another story about a little boy who was drawing the manger scene in his Sunday school class, and the teacher took his drawing and she said, well, you did a really good job. I see baby Jesus here. I see Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the animals. But who's this little chubby boy beside the manger? And the boy said, well, teacher, that's Round John Virgin. I love those stories. Do you guys like the movie It's a Wonderful Life? Who likes that movie? I showed a clip a few weeks ago in one of the sermons, but if you've not seen that movie or if it's been a while since you've seen it, watch it. It'll be on tonight. I think it comes on at 11:30, but it's a wonderful, wonderful Christmas story. It's a tradition for a lot of people to watch that every year. But the movie's about a man named George Bailey who, as a young boy, couldn't wait to get out of his hometown. He was going to make it big. He was finally going to go off and do something and make a name for himself. But George's plans changed when his dad suddenly passed away. And George now had to take care of the family business, the building and loan. Now, the building and loan never really made any money, but it helped all the people, or most of the people in Bedford Falls, realize the dream of owning their own home. It gave them funding to do that. So George puts his plans on hold, or scraps them really, and takes up his father's responsibilities with the building and loan. And there's a few obstacles. The stock market crash in 1929 happens, and they get through that. But the real conflict comes when his uncle, who works for George Bailey, misplaces $8,000. And this is bad, right, for a billion loan. So George knows he's ruined, and he's probably going to prison because this money's missing. So he decides that his life is more valuable. He's worth more dead than alive, and he contemplates suicide. And he goes to the bridge, and he's just about to jump off when another man jumps in before him, and George has to go down and save this other man. The other man that George saves is a man named Clarence Oddbody, who was an angel trying to, as the movie says, claim his wings or earn his wings. George tells Clarence he wished he'd never been born, that this world would have been a better place without him. So Clarence, the angel, in an effort to see George understand the kind of life he's lived, takes George around the town and shows him Bedford Falls as if he'd never existed. And through this, George is able to see the impact that he's made on the lives of so many people. How people are better off because of him and the things he's done. And the point here is, George lived a wonderful life. It's the title of the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Guess that's where it came from. But the movie points out very well the difference one person can make in the lives of so many people. As we celebrate Jesus this morning, consider this question. What would the world look like if Jesus had never been born? You ever thought about that? What if there was no virgin birth? What if there was no baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger? What if there were no angels announcing the birth to the shepherds? What if the shepherds had never made that trip to Bethlehem? Imagine the last 2,000 years without the influence of Jesus. That's scary to think about, isn't it? What would it look like? Imagine you could go back and see this world all these years as if Jesus had never been born. Well, some obvious things that would be different. We wouldn't have colleges and organizations and places bearing Christian names that help people, right? As bad as poverty and sickness still are today, it would be even worse without Christianity and the fundamentals that Jesus taught. But aside from those things, this world would look much worse if Jesus had never been born. Just think about the moral decay that exists today and how worse that would be if it weren't for Christianity, if it wasn't for Jesus. But more personally than that, if Jesus had never been born, our lives would look a whole lot different. First of all, if Jesus had never been born, we would not have a clear view of God. Think about that. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." These verses tell us amazing truths about Jesus, about God. God came into our little world, took on flesh and blood in the name of his Son. And if I want to know what God is like, if you want to know what God is like, all we have to do is look at Jesus. Colossians 1:15 says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." And Hebrews 1:3, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." Jesus gives us a clear view of God. And he sets straight a lot of faulty images people had about God. You see, the non-Jews during Jesus' time believed in a creator God, but they believed in other gods like Zeus and Aphrodite. And many times the people themselves lived moral lives more so than their gods did. Can you imagine that? And even today, we have some mixed up images sometimes about God. Some people believe in what I call a Star Wars theology, that God is some sort of force or energy, and that the force be with you, right? Maybe we've even had faulty images sometimes of what God is like. Maybe you've grown up thinking God is a judgmental father who's waiting for you to mess up so that he can punish you. Maybe you think God is like Santa Claus who just wants to grant every wish you've ever had. Or maybe he's like your old gentle grandfather who loves you and doesn't care what you do. Or maybe like Bette Midler, we think from a distance God is watching us. Aren't you glad I didn't sing that? Sometimes we have a wrong image of what God is like. But the Christmas story, this story that we're talking about today, that the world is fixated on this week, reminds us we don't have to wonder about what God is like, because we can look at Jesus and know. Jesus himself said in John 14:9, "Anyone who has seen me has seen" who? "The Father." So what is it that we see more clearly about God because Jesus was born? Well, first of all, because Jesus was born, we see clearly that God is near. Is that a reason to celebrate? that God is near. You see, God is not just some deity living on the edge of the universe looking at us through a telescope. In fact, Jesus' title, Emmanuel, means God with us. Through Jesus, we can know God is right here. He's with us when we worship. He's with us when we sing songs of praise. He's with us when we pray. God is with us when we go to work, when we go to sleep. And whether or not we're even aware of His presence, He's still near. He's right here. Jesus told His disciples, and He tells us, I will be with you always. Jesus promised that those who believe in Him would have God's Spirit dwelling in them. Church, there's no way we can get any nearer to somebody than that, than to have His Spirit dwelling in us. So because of Jesus, we can see clearly that God is near. And that's a reason to celebrate. Secondly, because of Jesus and His birth, we can see that God is love. You know, so many times we think God is just waiting for us to mess up, that He wants to punish us. But Jesus came to show us that God desires so much more for us in our lives. It's through Jesus that we see God's incredible love, a love that our minds can't even really comprehend, right? Through Jesus, we see that. We see a God who is willing to give up heaven, willing to give up the glories of His throne in heaven, to come down to this earth, to take on a human body, to be born in the most humblest of circumstances. Some of us might have been born in very humble circumstances, but I bet no one was born in a barn. That's humble, church. He left heaven to be born like that. He lived on this earth, and He struggled, and He suffered, and He died, and He rose from that grave. And through that, we know God demonstrates His love. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Dying for people who didn't deserve it, people who weren't worthy. But He did it because of His love. And through Jesus' birth and life and His death, we see a clear vision of God's love. And third, because of Jesus' birth, we can see clearly that God is faithful. You know, God made all kinds of promises in the Old Testament. He promised many things to His people. He promised that He would save His people. He would create a kingdom that would never end. He promised that through King David's bloodline, He would deliver His people from evil. He promised that this person would even be a light to the Gentiles. That's us, by the way. Through Jesus, we know that God kept every promise in Scripture. But we see that in our own lives too. It doesn't keep us from doubting in these human minds that will it work out this time, or will He really be there? Will I really be delivered from this? Sometimes we're not delivered the way we hope, but we know God's promises are faithful and they're real. And because of Jesus, we can see that. Because Jesus was born, we see a clear view of God, a God who's near, a God who loves us, and a God who is faithful in His promises. Those are reasons to celebrate, church. Not just this week, not just this time of year, but every day we live. And also, if Jesus had never been born, we would not have any way to have a personal relationship with God. Think about that. God came to this earth as a child so that I could become His child. He came to this earth as a child for you, so that each of us could become His children. He became like us so that we, through Jesus, could become like Him. Ephesians 1:5 says, His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Christ Jesus. God planned from the very beginning to come as the Son so that we could be part of His family. His family that stays together forever. There's no end to that, church. It's a family for eternity. Now, you might be thinking this holiday season, I got plenty of family. What do I need another family for? What's the big deal about being in God's family? Well, church, ultimately, God's not interested in our religion. He's not interested in us just following the rules and the regulations and doing the things other people think we're supposed to do. God is interested in having a relationship with each and every one of us. Amen? God is interested in our hearts. Being in God's family means we have an opportunity to have a relationship with Him, just like we do with our families here on earth, but much more than that. You can be religious. You can go to church. You can read your Bible. You can be at every event. But if you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus, you've missed it all. Now, sometimes people say, well, I'm not good enough to have a relationship with God. I'm not worthy to be in God's family. And the reality is, church, none of us are worthy. None of us are good enough. Some people think, my past is just too bad. There's no way I can be forgiven. Church, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter who you've hurt, you can be forgiven through Jesus. And through Him, we're made worthy. Apart from Him, we're nothing. But John's gospel reminds us, we don't just automatically become part of this family. We have to receive God's gift of Jesus. John 1:12 says, yet to all who received Him, and to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. You know, at Christmas time, you hear the phrase, God wrapped up His gift. And that's referring to Jesus being wrapped up in the manger. Now, hopefully this week, maybe even today, some of us are going to get some gifts, right? Maybe all of us. I hope you get a lot of gifts, right? And if it wouldn't be too much, get yourself something nice, right? I know that. But hopefully this year, this Christmas, we'll get a bunch of gifts. But you know a couple things that are universally true about all gifts. If the gifts you receive remain unwrapped and not accepted, they're useless to you, right? Doesn't matter how many you get. If you don't unwrap them and you don't accept them, they're useless. They don't mean anything to you. Well, church, it's the same thing with Jesus. Through Jesus, God has given us the greatest gift there could ever be. He's given us a Savior. He's given us eternal life. He's given us the hope of that eternal life while we struggle here on this earth. But we have to accept it, and we have to be obedient to Him. We do so by believing in Him and repenting and being baptized for our sins. If we open this gift, if we receive this gift from Jesus, we're going to experience the life He promises. The life that's abundant. The life that is full. Does that mean everything's great here on earth? No. This world's tough. Things happen. Stuff's bad sometimes. But we can have an abundant life here in spite of those things because we have a home in heaven forever. Jesus Himself said in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. You know, poor George Bailey had no idea the impact he made in the lives of so many people in Bedford Falls. My guess is none of us really can understand the impact we have on the people that we're around today. But you know, Jesus understood completely the impact He would have on your life when He came to this earth all those years ago. He knew the impact He would have on the lives of all those who came before us, the impact He'll have on all those who will come after us. And that's why He did it. That's why He came to this earth. Gave up the glory of heaven for the darkness of this world. That's why He died on that cross. That's why He was resurrected from that grave. And what the angel told Mary that day in Luke chapter 1, verses 31 through 33 has come true. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. And what the angel told Joseph in Matthew 1:20 and 21 is also true. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. Today, this week, every day, let's celebrate the truth of Jesus' birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. What impact has Jesus made on your life today? Ask yourself that question. And if you don't have an answer to that question, you can leave here today knowing that he has impacted your life for eternity. If you came in here today not a Christian, you came in here today just living the life you've been living with the things this world offers. But you can leave here this morning with an abundant life. You can leave here today with the hope of an eternal life. You can leave here today a child of God. Come this morning and accept the greatest Christmas gift that's ever been given. Come and accept Jesus. If you have a need, come now as we stand and sing.